Now everybody, let me tell you a story about Hollywood shame. Where terrible actors and scripts collide. Oh, what a mess it is on the other side. Saw the lights, camera, action begin. But all I got was a movie that plunged in a spin. From the first scene to the credits that roll. Oh, Hollywood disaster, you've taken its toll. Silver screen says cool, bad movies galore. Can't help but wonder what the hell were they making these for. Throwing some cliches to shut the predictable plot. It's a train wreck, I tell you, it's all they ever got.
And now for our feature presentation.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Cesspool, where we review the poo. And now your host, the surveyor of cinema, the mocker of moronic movies, the terror of tiny town, the last known survivor of battlefield Earth, the one of many, Alan Smithy.
Where do I even begin with the movie Robot Monster from 1953? At the beginning, I suppose. When I first began this podcast, one of the names I considered was Gorilla in a Diving Helmet. I decided against it because I feared being mistaken for a podcast on underwater activities, or perhaps even primates. But this is the movie that inspired that name. I do have to state as a disclaimer that this movie was originally in 3D and was only available in 2D streaming, so it's possible this movie was an entirely different experience in 3D. I said possible, not probable. As was the norm for the time, the bulk of the movie's film credits are shown at the beginning of the film. What wasn't the norm for the time was the rather prominent billing of the automatic billion bubble machine. This doesn't bode well for the actual action sequences in this movie. The movie starts with a young boy and girl who are playing outside at what appears to be the Mayberry Rock Quarry. The boy shoots his toy laser pistol at the girl and her doll. They run around and stumble into two scientists who are removing random rocks from the wall of the mouth of a cave so they can send them to a museum. Because that's how geology and or archaeology works. Here's a random rock. Off to the museum it goes. My entire unpaved driveway is currently on display at the Smithsonian. The mother and the older sister of these children run up and apologize to the scientists for the kids bothering them, and then remind the kids they promised to take a nap after the picnic they just had. The kids reluctantly agree after some gentle prodding by the younger scientist, who clearly has the hots for the older sister. They return to the picnic blanket, where the boy asks his mom, and this is a direct quote, "Say, are we ever going to have a new father around the house?" What the absolute f**k? Is the robot monster the name of the person who wrote this dialogue? Are we going to have a new father around the house? Sure, son, I'll pick one up at the Five and Dime on the way home from the market tomorrow. I think I saw a coupon for 10% off fathers in the Sunday paper. What the hell?
So nap time, as promised. I'm not sure if the actors have never seen another human sleeping before, or the direction they were given was to look as uncomfortable as possible, or perhaps they were trying to duck and cover, but all four of them are passed the f*** out. Stone cold unconscious, like they were in the middle of a picnic, and they suddenly passed out. They aren't even in the shade. High noonday sun, sleeping on the edges of a picnic blanket, in the most awkward positions possible. The boy child awakens and runs to the cave as lightning strikes and knocks the child to the ground gently. He looks far more comfortable lying there in the dirt, knocked unconscious, than he did just a few seconds ago, sleeping. As a giant Gila monster attacks an alligator and two claymation triceratops battle it out, I'm left hunting for the remote because I think I just accidentally switched to another movie. No, the transition and the plot were just that lacking. Okay, then. Where are we? Are we inside the cave? The rock quarry? Are we now on another planet? I think the alligator is winning. And now that's over, and we won't speak of it again till the end of the movie. The boy is awakened by our hero, the automatic billion bubble machine, and while he slumbered, they saw fit to change the boy's pants from jeans to jorts. Yes, I'm going to call the bubble machine the hero of this movie, even if it's not, because it does put on the best acting performance. The boy hears a noise and runs out of the cave, and behind him emerges what can only be described as a gorilla in a diving helmet. Remember the Transformer Shockwave, the purple Decepticon ray gun? His head on a fursuit. This is not even accessorized by belts, buckles, or straps, or even an air tank hooked up to the diving helmet. No sci-fi accoutrement to sell the look. It does not really look like a monster, and it sure as hell doesn't look like a robot. It's a gorilla in a diving helmet. That is no way frightening, and I cannot imagine any situation where this would be frightening, unless, of course, I was actually diving underwater and was suddenly attacked by a real gorilla who was using a diving helmet for its intended purposes. I'd be like, ah, get your stinking hands off me, you damn dirty ape, but then I'd drown because I'm underwater without a diving helmet. But let's talk more about the movie and less about my fever dreams. We're treated to the gorilla in a diving helmet, contacting his boss on his homeworld, who is also a gorilla in a diving helmet, using the advanced alien technology of being projected into a mirror of a dresser that's appeared in the cave of the bubble machine. You know, I don't even think it's a different gorilla in a diving helmet. I think they just changed the background so we'd think it's two different gorillas in diving helmets. But this raises an interesting question. Is his home planet filled with gorillas in diving helmets? Or is it supposed to be part of their body? Or is this some sort of a work uniform? We learned that the gorilla in a diving helmet has a name, and its name is Roman. R-O-M-O-N. Short for Robot Monster. Nothing to do with the city of Rome. And not to be confused with Moron. Oh, I just got a 30-year-old joke from a Freakazoid cartoon. Better late than never, I suppose. So, the gorillas are all like, finally, somebody let me out of my cage, and they're planning on taking over the Earth and turning it into the planet of the apes. In fact, actually, they've already killed everyone on Earth except for 8 people. That lightning we saw earlier killed everyone on Earth, maybe? Except for 8 people, and transported the bubble machine to Earth and turned Billy's pants into jorts. Those monsters! Those robot monsters! Did the bubble machine kill everybody? I don't know. Wait, are we going to see any of this death and destruction? I feel like that would have been an interesting action sequence. But no, let's just take the word of a gorilla in a diving helmet that it happened. It's fine. No, really, it's fine. Little Johnny overhears the gorilla in a diving helmet and runs home to tell his papa to tell him all about it. And I officially have no idea what the f*** is going on. This kid suddenly now has a mom and 2 sisters, and the one scientist is his dad now, and they can hide from the gorilla in a diving helmet by having electrical lines go around their house. I think we jumped ahead a few years at some point in the plot, and it just wasn't clear, but I don't know. This kid just mysteriously has a dad now. So realizing he hasn't killed everyone yet, our gorilla in the diving helmet, Roman, threatens the remaining 5, not 8 humans, via their dresser mirror, promising them a painless death if they just surrender. Now, I do have some trouble believing a gorilla in a diving helmet could wipe out the entire human race, but what is even harder to believe is that the last humans on Earth are these idiots. But there is a 6th human, and he's the other scientist we saw earlier. And he's discovered that the reason the 8 of them are still alive is that the death ray Roman uses is vulnerable to the serum that the other geologist invented. This serum cures everything. I don't mean that in a metaphorical sense. He invented a serum that cures everything and tested it on the 8 people who are still alive, or 6 or 5 or however many there are. Now the survivors are planning on going to escape to the space station together, where there's apparently still a bunch of humans still living. But Roman blows it up and the other 2 guys on Earth. So now I think we are officially at 6. The final 6 decide to talk to Roman, and he agrees to negotiate with them, but only if he negotiates only with the hot daughter, which seems to be a terrible plan to everybody except for the daughter. So they tie her up to keep her from leaving. So Johnny decided to go and talk to Roman instead. So to save him, they send the hot daughter out to find them, which is exactly what they were trying to avoid in the first place. The girl in the diving helmet attacks her, and the other scientist slash love interest slash only human left on the planet not related to her. Roman waddles around the mountainside while Johnny returns home, and our 2 lovebirds are hiding in the tall grass, making out as blood romantically drips from his ear. In fact, when they return to the rest of the family, they ask the scientist to marry them, because that was one hell of a makeout session. Or because they're the last 2 humans on Earth who aren't related and options are limited, so why waste time? The wedding is the social event of the year, according to the scientist, and the entire town will turn out. Haha, funny. Apocalypse funny. The bride wears white and the groom remains in dress slacks and shirtless, as was the tradition in the 1950s. But they do decide that they still want to have a honeymoon, so off they go to over there, coming around the mountain when she comes, I don't know. But the younger daughter feels bad she didn't get them a wedding present and chases after them with sunflowers, leading her to be killed by the gorilla in the diving helmet. Child murder. Kind of dark. I mean, not as dark as killing everybody on Earth, but okay. We didn't see that on screen. Roman then chases down the happy couple, claiming rights to Prima Nocta, and throws lover boy over a cliff and claims the new bride as his own. I think she spent more of this film being carried around now than actually walking on her own 2 feet. Mom and Dad find the body of their youngest daughter and have her buried before Roman and his even reached the cave with their other daughter. The groom stumbles to the grave, tells Mom, Dad, and Johnny the other daughter has been kidnapped, and he drops dead. But they just leave his body where he drops, though. Don't see a need to bury him quite so quickly. Roman tries to get the hot daughter to fondle his chest, but is interrupted by the remaining human prank calling him via their dresser mirror. Then his boss calls, reminding him that he's on a deadline, but Roman is experiencing complex human emotions, namely horniness. So he's conflicted about ending the human race, or at least ending the life of the hot daughter. Little Johnny uses himself as bait so Mom and Dad can save his sister, but Roman's boss gets sick of Roman's and decides to kill him for letting his horniness get the best of him. Boss-level gorilla in a diving helmet then says he will use, quote, prehistoric reptiles to kill them, and then sends a giant aardvark to wrestle a claymation brontosaurus because he doesn't understand what reptiles are, and then we get a replay of the earlier alligator Gila monster bout. But, as it turns out, this is a Wizard of Oz type situation where the kid got beamed in the dome, and this is all a dream. And you were there, and you were there, and you were there too, wearing a gorilla suit with a diving helmet. Gorilla and a Robot Monster is available streaming on Pluto TV.
Silver Screen Cesspool is written, directed, and starring Alan Smithy. Assistant director, producer, and stunt coordinator, Alan Smithy. Boom mic operator, sound editing, and music by Alan Smithy. Construction coordinator, The Amazing Rando. Makeup by Crayola. Catering was provided by the Soylent Corporation. Alan Smithy will be back in Return of the Curse of the Planet of the Prehistoric Bikini Ninjas versus Kingdom of the Bride of the Killer, Shark Cheerleaders 2, Electric Boogaloo.